Clayton Kershaw, Dallas Keuchel, Sean Tolleson, Luke Gregerson. We're covering all the bases, get it? Today on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Hey, what's up? Adam Scott now. If you're good, if you stay for the entire show, you'll get some Grade the Trade at the end. Fantasy Baseball at CBSi.com. Wow, what a day.
If you're bad, you'll get coal in your stocking.
Yeah, or Dunkaroos instead of fruit roll-ups. Now, we talked about that on yesterday's show. You guys weren't on it. I'm not sure Al's going to have an opinion, but you guys can both weigh in. Which would you prefer as a snack, Dunkaroos or fruit roll-ups?
Yeah, I'm not. I haven't partaken of either. So
ever. I guess I can believe that. what kind of treats were in the lunch sack when you were growing up?
Back in the prehistoric times. I don't know. Just kind of. Nothing as healthy as a fruit roll-up. I mean, that's
good. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's health food right there.
Well, compared to, like I was going to say, Oreos, maybe Fig Newtons.
I would guess Fig Newtons are probably healthier than fruit. Fruit roll-ups are basically just candy.
Okay.
But they're delicious. I got to go fruit roll. I enjoy a fruit roll-up on occasion even now.
Scott, I'm looking at the live results of the poll I posted last night. Better snack, Dunkaroos, or fruit roll-ups. Would you believe split evenly 50-50? Wow. I'm on team fruit roll up. Chris was all about Dunkaroos, so I posted that, and I guess it's a good split.
Dunkaroos, they're not around anymore, are they?
I'm not sure. Fruit roll ups.
That kind of decides it, doesn't it?
if you're right about Dunkaroos not being around, then yes, I think that's an easy thing to solve. Not as easy as, you know, Clayton Kershaw's value. So I want to start with Kershaw. Here's what's coming up on today's show. I thought yesterday was just ripe with storylines. Jock Peterson, Chris Davis, Tyler White, Malik Smith, multi-homer games. Plenty going on in bullpens in Texas, in Oakland, in Houston. We'll look at what might happen there, the dominoes that are falling. A lot of news with Rougned Odor being suspended 8 games. Evan Gattis back in homering. The White Sox look like they're ready to make a trade. Steve Pierce keeps on hitting. Brandon Guyer keeps on hitting. And then, of course, we have Archer, Hamels, Keuchel, Scherzer, and some concerns with them. We'll see if you're concerned. But let's start with Kershaw. He's the number one player in both formats, Roto and points. He's got 30 more fantasy points than Chris Sale, 49 more fantasy points than Jose Altuve. It's a little bit harder to calculate the gap in Roto. Now, by the time Kershaw pitches again, Sale will probably close the gap a little bit. Altuve will close the gap a little bit. But I guess, you know, I never draft Clayton Kershaw because my philosophy is, I never took Kershaw and I usually fine with pitching. But he's got a 22-1 strikeout to walk ratio right now. Not only is Kershaw amazing, but he's having his best year ever. So it's hard for me to say he's not like a top four guy at this point. How do you guys value Clayton Kershaw?
Do you know what his FIP is? Because I've always, I think the most impressive stat for Kershaw is that his FIP historically has made him out to be a sub 2 ERA guy. Normally any sub 2 ERA, you're like, okay, that's unsustainable, but his is actually sustainable. You know what his FIP is this year? 1.37.
Oh my goodness. And his ERA is 1.67.
And I'm surprised that the gap isn't bigger between him and Sale, because Sale's not striking out batters like he normally does.
Wins, I guess. Kershaw is 6-1. I think Sale's 7-0.
You know, and part of my argument for not going after Kershaw this year was that I thought that the gap, I still thought he was the number one starter, but that the gap potentially could be closed because pitchers like Sale, Max Scherzer, David Price, Corey Kluber, they could close the gap, and they've all been a little bit disappointing. Well, Kershaw, like you said, has been better than ever.
Sale's actually 8-0. So I guess my question is with Kershaw, I think it's like 6 straight games with double-digit strikeouts, and I know he's the best pitcher in baseball. I know he's number one in fantasy, but is he going to have his best year and really be, you know, arguably the number one player in fantasy, even though I know you take a few hitters over him? Or is he going to fall back to what he usually is, which is still the best pitcher, but not by this much?
I think there's a very good chance he comes out as the top player in fantasy, at least, you know, as far as the formulas go. There's some subjectivity in terms of position scarcity, and yeah, I would still take the big four hitters, I guess, because I add Altuve to that group now. I'd still take all of them over Kershaw, But we've seen him be the top player in fantasy before, and if the gains he's made this year, most notably with walk rate, not that he was a bad walk pitcher before, but four walks all season, he could have his best season. So I think that's there's definitely a good chance of that.
Okay, so Scott would take four hitters over Clayton Kershaw. How about you, Al?
Yeah, probably at least four, because I had Kershaw. I'm trying to remember exactly where I had him preseason. I think maybe eighth. So, yeah, that doesn't change for me, because I still think those other pitchers I mentioned could be even more dominant down, as we go further down the stretch. And Kershaw could, by his standards, slump a little bit. So I still think he's the best pitcher. I still think it's possible he could be the best player in fantasy overall. But, this far into the season, I'm not really going to change course on that.
Can you justify Giancarlo Stanton over Clayton Kershaw at this point?
Yeah, I can, because, he's looked pretty lost the last several games, but that's been the case in other seasons, and he can just get so hot and produce so much power in a very short time that, I think that his stats could look very, very different, say, a month from now than they do right now.
That said, there might be a half dozen hitters I could justify before I did Stanton. Like, all three of the big third basemen, Machado, Arenado, Donaldson, Rizzo, probably.
Oh, really?
Yep. Heath, I don't know if Heath talked about this on the podcast, but he was very tempted to move Rizzo ahead of Goldschmidt in his rest of season rankings.
Oh,
I'm not there, but that shows you the gains. I can understand it, because he's the best hitter in the best lineup by far. Yeah. So a lot of runs in RBI.
Yeah. Now, Stanton does have 11 home runs, and his ISO is almost 300. So,
he's coming off of sort of a down stretch. So
right.
I think that's only all his stats are going to just get better.
Okay. So Giancarlo Stanton wishes he were in the multi-home run club, but he is not. Four guys were yesterday: Jock Peterson, Chris Davis, Tyler White, and Malik Smith. Now, in order to save time, let me see if I can just sum up Jock Peterson and Chris Davis here. That was a bad Jock Peterson. That was a bad Ferris Bueller.
That was the worst one you've ever done.
Yeah, I rushed it. I'll make it
lump
up.
Of coal for you.
Peterson and Davis, they're both... They're both in the 40s in points and in the 30s in roto in terms of outfield rank. So are they fringy guys in three outfielder leagues and must-start guys in five outfielder leagues? Is that the easiest way to sum up Jock Peterson and Chris Davis?
Nailed it.
Now, Davis had three home runs yesterday, and he was terrible for the first 12 games, batted 143 with no home runs. Since then, he's been pretty good. So I guess second follow-up question is, can you see either of these guys take the next step and become much more than what we just described them as?
I really can't. And I saw, well, I guess I should say, I think Peterson could become more than that. But he has the biggest hurdles to clear, because he's not even an everyday player right now. So for that reason, I would say I can't see him doing that. And Davis, I read a stat that since August 9th, he has more home runs than anyone in baseball, but that's because, he had 20 homers in his last 53 games last year. It's just a crazy hot streak to end the year. You said he got off to a terrible start, but fact of the matter is, he was on another stretch of a dozen games or so where he did nothing before having these three home runs. He's just so streaky. It's kind of like, I think the closest comparison would really be Chris Carter of the Brewers.
I was going to say that. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Like, if you have the discipline to ride out those many, many stretches where he's doing absolutely nothing, then yeah, he'll give you a decent home run total at season's end. But I don't know how many people are really willing to do that, because you can't predict when those games are going to happen,
Sure. Tyler White hit two home runs. I'll go back to you, Scott, because I saw you dropped A.J. Reed in one of our roto leagues this morning. Was that related at all to Tyler White?
No, I put in that claim before White even had this game. It was more A.J. Reed's on the DL and somebody dropped a closer. Right. And so A.J. Reed's on the minor league DL, I should clarify. So he's not coming up in the next couple weeks. I think that's fair to assume. And yeah, that made him the lowest guy on that particular roster. I still think there's a good chance he's up pre-All-Star break.
And Tyler White really had been doing nothing since the first week of the season until last night.
He had been. You're right. But at the same time, we know so little about Tyler White except he's had great offensive numbers everywhere he's been. So I'd be lying if I said I wasn't at all moved by this performance. You know, I think he's suddenly back on the mixed league radar after he was getting dropped everywhere.
Yeah, I'm glad I did. I hung on to him in most leagues. I dropped him in 12 team mixed leagues.
Yeah.
You know, where he was pretty speculative to begin with, but held on to him everywhere else. And I'm glad I did because, like you mentioned, Scott, I mean, he's hit everywhere he's gone. He's had great plate discipline everywhere he's gone. And it just seemed like if the Astros gave him a chance to work this out, that he could. And so the thing I actually find really encouraging is just that he started two games in a row. And now in the second start, with the pair of homers, probably earning even more playing time.
I had trouble figuring this out because I wanted to figure out this morning if the pitches that he hit out were away and up because Eno Saris wrote a piece about when this slump started for White that, you know, pitchers changed the way they attacked him after the hot start he got off to and they started going away and up, which he had said, I think, in spring training that was a weakness of his. I just tried by watching the video. They were both away, but I couldn't tell really how high they were in the zone just from that. And I tried looking at heat maps and it wasn't so clear to me. But if he figures out how to eliminate that hole in his swing, then he could be a big time contributor. Right. I still think he reminds me a lot of Kevin Youkilis, just the way he came into the league and what he does well. If everything goes right.
Okay. Well, Tyler White is 37% owned. Let's go from Tyler White to Malik Smith, Al. Malik Smith is 15% owned, and entering yesterday, I don't have the updated numbers, but entering yesterday, he was batting .293 with a home run and four steals and five attempts in May. Now, in April, he was thrown out almost every time he stole. He had a terrible April, but in May, things have been a lot better. So that's three home runs, four steals and five attempts. Still no walks and 11 strikeouts in May, but are you seeing something? Are you seeing enough from Malik Smith to start picking him up?
In a roto league where I needed steals, absolutely. I don't really read anything into the two home run game for him. The strikeouts are a concern, so that's why I'm kind of soft pedaling this. You know, he's not a must add in roto leagues, but if I have the need for speed, then, I'll pick him up.
Well, let me compare him to someone else. I picked up Cameron Maben in a five outfielder, 12 team roto league. I dropped Steven Moya, who has sat the last two games for Cameron Maben, and Maben has stolen two bases. Would you rather have Malik Smith or Cameron Maben?
So I'd rather have Smith. I think he's probably going to get more playing time than Maben. I imagine Steven Moya is going to inch his way into more playing time at Maben's expense.
But don't they need a center fielder? My thought was that Maben would be fairly safe because of defense.
I mean, you would think so, but, you know... Truth be told, I mean, it sort of depends who might, you know, who's managing the Tigers a week from now.
It's true.
But, I don't know. My gut just says that, you know, Maben's never really been able to hold on to a full-time job anywhere he's been for very long.
Okay.
Yeah. And, it'll be interesting to see if the Braves' new manager sits Smith against lefties like Freddie Gonzalez was doing. And Smith is a good enough defender and center that he's bumped into Enciarte to left. So, and his strikeout rate has gone down a lot since his early struggles. So I would agree that Smith is the way to go there as a low-end source of speed.
Okay, then. The bullpen. Things are getting interesting. I feel like we had a nice few weeks of relative calm in the bullpen, but nope, not anymore. Right, Al?
I did a closers and waiting piece at the end of last week just because of that reason, because it seemed like for the first time in weeks, there were actually some interesting things going on in bullpens. Yeah. Of course, it's just gotten more interesting since then.
Well, Sean Tolleson, it does appear that he's going to lose his job, maybe temporarily, but the Rangers are talking like Jeff Bannister. Sorry, I forgot his name. He's saying we don't know, you know, we're going to take it day by day, but there's no way they can go back to him for the next save, right? I mean, come on.
I was surprised they did this time, and then he allows a grand slam to blow the game. Yeah. I mean, he doesn't have his changeup this year, and they've said he doesn't have his changeup. So if you're losing your most important secondary pitch, I don't even think it'll be a temporary thing unless they figure out why he's lost it.
Okay, the three names that I thought were obvious were Tolleson, Ryan Madsen, who's, you know, look, he blew a save yesterday. He had 13 consecutive scoreless appearances, but it just seems like walks and hits are up lately. 9 hits, 6 walks in his last 7 appearances, and Doolittle's been a lot better. Gregerson is struggling as well. Sorry, Scott. Ken Giles has been a lot better, but Will Harris has a .48 ERA and 18 strikeouts to 2 walks and only 11 hits and 18 and 2/3 for the Astros in their bullpen, and he's been, I think, more of the traditional setup man for them. So let's go through all three of these: the Rangers, the A's, and the Astros. Who you would prioritize?
I just want to make sure you didn't miss what happened there. You asked, you said sorry, Scott, and my response was nope. I don't even know why I said that.
It's just a weird response. sorry, Scott. You want to try it again?
Oh, that's fine.
Okay, there you go.
Okay.
All right. So, the first non-closer that you want to add right now because you think he will become the closer is who?
Is Sam Dyson. I just think he's got, I mean, I know there's been some discussion of Matt Bush ascending into that role, but, you know, he just called up. Bannister's turned to Dyson in a few situations going back to last September. It just seems obvious to me that he's the guy, and this is the situation where there's most obviously going to be a change. So Dyson is the one that I'm targeting.
Okay. How about would you drop Tolleson? Let's start with that. Would you drop Tolleson, or do you think worth hanging
he's
on?
He's gone, yeah.
You drop him?
Probably. If it was a league where there was like zero saves on waivers, I might hold on to him just to see, just to be absolutely sure Dyson shores up that role, and I'm pretty sure he will, but, you know, just to be careful.
Okay. Now with the A's, you know, Doolittle, and then with the Astros, maybe Giles, maybe Will Harris. Do you guys think a change could be coming in those two situations?
I think it's possible. I think Doolittle replacing Madsen is more likely because he's been so dominant now. 14 appearances, 15 strikeouts to 3 walks with a 1.64 ERA. I mean, and they wanted him closing in the first place, so that just seems too obvious of a change, provided they are frustrated with Madsen, which I don't know that they are. Giles, I mean, okay, his last 5 appearances have been good, but 2 weren't even a full inning. I'm just not sure it's been enough yet to really win back their trust.
Okay. All right, but I think it's important for owners to get these guys on the radar. And I still think, what do you guys think? I still think Will Harris could be the closer if Gregerson loses that job.
I agree. I think that's the guy to target there of these three situations. This is the one that I think is right now the least volatile, even though Gregerson has blown 3 saves. But A.J. Hinch has shown a lot of confidence in Gregerson, and I think he has the ability to work his way out of the slump. But, if Gregerson blows another save, I would definitely target Harris.
All right, let's do some news here on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Rougned Odor suspended 8 games, fined $5,000 for punching Jose Bautista. Odor will appeal. Are we going to see Jurickson Profar?
There's a chance. He's really picked it up at AAA. I was monitoring him early on because after an awful spring, he got off to a slow start there. It was no power. But suddenly, I think like 3 home runs in his last 6 games or something like that, and his numbers look respectable. And he played second base after playing mostly shortstop. He played second base for the other day. So I think there's a chance, but since Odor's, the time he's going to miss isn't imminent, I don't know exactly when it'll be.
Yeah, or if that means anything for fantasy owners. We're talking about 8 games at the most. Or unless he gets traded. And the White Sox, by the way, they are looking to make a trade. They are going to go for it. GM Rick Hahn said they're ready to make a big move. Maybe Jurickson Profar could be the, they need a shortstop, that's for sure. Food for thought. Jose Bautista suspended 1 game. Elvis Andrews served his 1 game suspension last night. Let's talk about the Astros, guys. Carlos Gomez is on the DL with a bruised left rib cage. I always find it so coincidental that those injuries just seem to coincide with horrible, horrible slumps. Colin Moran and Tony Kemp, third baseman and an outfielder, Moran and Kemp, are expected to be in the Houston lineup today. We did talk about them yesterday and didn't really seem too enthused. How about you guys, Moran and Kemp?
I'm kind of enthused about Tony Kemp. Not as much for Colin Moran, but both because I just think that Kemp offers more in fantasy, particularly in terms of steals. Whereas Moran, if he's going to give you anything, it's batting average, really not a whole lot else. But, I also just think that there's a clear path for Kemp, to stay in the lineup. Not that I think he's going to, you know, supplant Jose Altuve at second base, but I think he could, you know, stay in that outfield. So I think the playing time for Kemp's not going to be a problem. And, you know, at third base, they could, you know, when eventually, you know, down the line, AJ Reed, when he's healthy and ready, they could shift Tyler White to third, they could put Marwin Gonzalez there. They could put Luis Valbuena there. There's all kinds of options. They could put, Alex Bregman there.
Yeah, that's true. Alex Bregman, they're the second overall pick in the draft last year, is killing it in the minors. And, you know, he's at an age where you could already think about him getting called up. I agree. Kemp's interesting. Not to the point that I'd add him in a mixed league. I have to see some playing time from him first, but just I think he's the same height as Altuve.
Yeah.
And just a similar I could see him being a similar hitter average wise because I saw somebody tweet out his spray chart from the minors.
Oh, it was Darren Willman. I saw that tweet.
And it was the most evenly distributed spray chart I've ever seen. There were just dots all over the place. There's no way a defense can position itself to stop this guy from getting on base via hit. And he's pretty good plate discipline-wise, too. So, and then he has speed, like Al said. So I could see him surprising, but it's not, you know, my initial reaction to this is it's not an impact call-up.
I'll be rooting for him because now that he's in the majors, Tony Kemp is the only major leaguer to have ever tweeted out a picture of me.
Really?
Well, we were at the Futures game
last year, right.
And I was interviewing Tyler Beattie, and they're both Vanderbilt guys. And
I remember Tony Kemp was like standing in the middle of the room. You know, a lot of the bigger prospects had people, like crowds of people around them, and he was and they were standing by their lockers, and he was just in the middle of the room waiting for somebody to talk to him.
Oh,
and I wanted to talk to him.
Yeah,
but I couldn't come
you?
Up with anything to ask him.
Oh man, poor Tony Kemp.
I know.
Well, we're making it up today. We're pumping him up a little bit. Evan Gaddis, DHD homered at the White Sox, still has not caught, but you know, just got called back up. Mike Moustakas could be back on Saturday. Some Mets news. David Wright missed last night's game with back discomfort. That's got to raise some red flags. Steven Matz expected to start Friday against Milwaukee, so that's got to lower some red flags. Lucas Duda was out with a back issue, likely going to sit today against a lefty, Gio Gonzalez. Adrian Gonzalez day-to-day with a back issue. Minnesota sent down Jose Berríos. Drop or stash Jose Berríos?
Drop.
Probably drop. It's not, you know, just instant drop, but there's probably going to be somebody that I'll want to use his spot for.
Would you drop him for Ruby?
No, I wouldn't.
Okay, yeah. I would.
Matt Moore's next start being moved from Saturday to Monday. Cleveland sent Cody Anderson to the minors. Mike Clevinger will make his major league debut tonight. Does anybody care about that?
He has awesome hair. At least if his photo on Baseball Reference was up to date.
That's so funny because that was my instant reaction as well.
And I think he could get some strikeouts, but control issues. He's one of those type of prospects, and it's hard to know. It's a roll of the dice when they first come up, whether or not the control issues will ruin everything else.
Gotcha. No timetable for Michael Brantley's return from a shoulder injury, and Atlanta fired Freddy Gonzalez, promoted AAA manager Brian Snitker to take over as interim manager. Scott White, how did you feel about the Braves firing Freddy Gonzalez?
It was, I tweeted out, it was one of the, I forget the word I used, but like the most boring developments of the 2016 season. So I was surprised it was so widely discussed. I mean, he wasn't going to be the manager when they were ready to win again. I guess some people were surprised that, okay, well, why bring him back if you're going to fire him midseason? I think they were hoping they could just ride out these losing seasons, you know, whether it's this year or this year and next year with him and not have to find this in-between guy. Because I do think it makes sense for a team when they're going through a rebuilding process like this and they are ready to win again to bring in a guy to kind of like set the tone of the clubhouse that, okay, things are going to be different now. And so I don't think that's why they're just going with their AAA manager instead of, looking for somebody to be the long-term guy.
Right. Well, I've been saying, you know, a lot of people were talking about it. John McGraw could manage that team with Tony La Russa as his bench coach and they'd be the worst team in baseball. I don't think it was Freddy Gonzalez's fault. Some trending players. Seeing these guys added in our leagues, Steve Pierce and Brandon Guyer for the Rays, and Danny Valencia homered again. He's 58% owned. The other two, Pierce and Guyer, are more widely available. I know that Scott likes Steve Pierce. Al, how do you feel about Steve Pierce and Guyer? Let's go with the Rays guys first.
Yeah, all three lefty mashers, by the way.
No,
I like Pierce a lot, too. And we're kind of bearing the lead in a way here because yesterday was game number 5 at second base.
Ah, there we go.
So that gives Pierce a lot more value, not just first base outfield eligible. I'd say of the three, in a way, even with the second base eligibility, I might be the least interested in Pierce because because the playing time just hasn't been as consistent. Guyer, I would think, would be the one that they'd sit more often against righties than Pierce. Mm-hmm. But Guyer's been playing pretty much every day.
Well, for about as long as Pierce has been playing every day. Pierce has bounced between first base and second base based on lefty-righty. But Logan Forsythe with a fractured shoulder blade, I don't think he's coming back that soon. So, and I think by the time he does, it'll be pretty clear that Pierce needs to play every day at first base over Logan Morrison. So.
That's the part I can't figure out. Although Morrison got his first RBIs. Oh, I said RBIs.
Yeah, good job.
He just got one though, right? Or did he get two?
He got two.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's a game changer for him. Bottom line is, I think Pierce has the potential to be a monster. He was as a semi-regular 2 years ago. And this year, I mean, his strikeout rate, he's cut it in half from last year. And I know it's small sample, of course, but that's encouraging. I was thrilled to see him still available in our head-to-head categories league, the 16-teamer that Heath set up. Because I drafted Colton Wong as my second baseman in that league, and I've had to rely on Aaron Hill the last couple weeks. Now I got a legit second baseman, I feel like, in Pierce.
Well, we both put in claims for Pierce. I was disappointed to see that I did not get him. I'm sure other people did as well. But Pierce is only hitting .208 against righties. He has nearly 1,500 OPS against lefties so far. But yeah. .208... with a .292 slugging against righties.
Two points there. He was better against righties than lefties last year. He's pretty bad overall, but was clearly better against righties. And 2 years ago, although his numbers were ridiculous against left-handers, he still had like an .850 OPS against righties. I don't think that's going to be a real problem for him.
And I just add one more thing about Guyer, and one of the reasons why I do like him as much as I do is I think there's some stolen base potential. He finally got his first stolen base last night. Last year he had 10, even though he had just 385 plate appearances. So, you know, it's not monster. He's not Malik Smith, but, certainly in a league where steals are scarce, and that's a lot of leagues, Guyer does have that appeal.
Would you guys rather own Steve Pierce or Chase Utley?
I'd rather own Pierce.
I would too, pretty close though.
Steve Pierce or Derek Dietrich?
Dietrich.
I'm gonna take Pierce.
Brandon Guyer or Malik Smith?
In a vacuum, Malik. Guyer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. But again, yeah, if I specifically need steals, I'll go Smith.
Okay.
All right, let's talk about some concerns. I want you to rank these concerns. We've never done this before. I'm trying something new here. Chris Archer's Chris Archer's control. Cole Hamels control, career high walk rate. Dallas Keuchel's control, Max Scherzer's home runs, and global warming.
Five concerns.
Yeah. I'll put global warming first.
Okay, Scott.
Because no, sorry,
Scott, would you put global warming first?
Sure.
All right. I just need to make sure we have our priorities straight here, guys. Although this, now that I'm saying this out loud, it sounds unintentionally political. It was clearly meant to be a joke.
That's
so,
why it was.
I'm sorry I put that trap in there for you guys.
I just don't think, you know, no matter how many walks Chris Archer issues, it's not going to, you know, put somebody's, you know, home underwater.
Yeah, right. But some people don't believe in global warming. Whatever. We're not going to talk about that. So is there another generic, concern out there that we could put instead of global warming? Poverty?
This segment's already failing.
No, this segment's going to be great. Poverty is, you have to put poverty number one on this list, right?
I would.
Good. Now, what's number two? We got Chris Archer's control, Cole Hamels' control, Dallas Keuchel's control, and Max Scherzer's home runs.
I am going to go Archer next, just because control's been an issue for the bulk of his career, and it's been pretty poor this year. So that's my number two, a distant number two between poverty and global warming.
I'll go Keuchel's control. Are we going to do one spot at a time or one person's list?
No, why don't we take out poverty and just rank the four pitcher concerns?
Okay, well, I'm going to go Archer. I'm going to put Keuchel, but I don't think it's really a control problem for him. I think it's a deception issue.
Okay.
But I'll get back to that. So Archer, Keuchel, Scherzer, Hamels. I think Hamels is going to be fine. And Scherzer, I'm not really worried about because, yeah, he is giving up a lot of home runs, but he's pretty awesome anyway.
Al, I got to say one thing about Max Scherzer. ERA matters. 401 ERA.
Sure. Well, it matters. Yeah, if you've got him and you're carrying that ERA on your team, I don't really think he's going to be a 4+ ERA going forward.
He would have to continue this like 60 homer pace. So,
all right. So then let's talk about Archer and Keuchel, I guess specifically. And neither of them had bad starts. Keuchel got a little bit lucky because he left with the bases loaded in the seventh, and all three of his walks came in the seventh. So it was 6 innings, 3 runs. Then he came back out for the seventh. He ends up with 6 and a third innings, 3 runs, but 3 walks. All of them came in the seventh inning. And Ken Giles got him out of the jam. We'll start with Keuchel. Al, you don't think it's a control issue. The guy, just to give the numbers, has 25 walks and 56 and a third.
Yeah, which is obviously bad ratio and not what we've grown accustomed to from Keuchel. But, and I didn't see that game last night, much less that inning. But Keuchel, last couple of years, and you know, especially last year, what he's really thrived on is pitching out of the zone and getting people to chase. And he's just not been as successful at doing that this year. So I don't think it's that he's, you know, so I don't think he necessarily has a command or a control issue. But maybe it's just hitters have made adjustments. Maybe, you know, his location isn't quite as fine as it was last year. But I just don't think he's somebody who's going to be unintentionally all over the place.
You know, I still think that we should talk about the velocity with him. I don't know. Is that a concern for you? Because it is down. It's not down a ton, but he's not throwing that hard. He's not even reaching 90 miles per hour on his fastball. He's usually around 90, I guess, 91 maybe.
Yeah,
it's
not a big change. So, I mean, he's thrived before without great velocity. That's not really his thing. So that's not my concern.
Well, I guess why I'm not really concerned about Archer is, like, we've seen it. The fact that we've seen it before from him actually makes me less concerned because we've seen him get past it before, you know? And he has such good strikeout potential that he can survive a less than appealing walk rate. So I actually rank Keuchel ahead of him as far as concerns go.
Now, yeah, so with Archer, I was watching a lot of baseball last night. Man, that Syndergaard Scherzer game, that was really awesome. But I was watching Archer as well, and I love their color broadcaster, Brian Anderson, and he said that Archer's slider has gotten better as the year has gone on, which is an encouraging thing to say. And he's not one of those homer broadcasters that's just going to say kind things. He's a national broadcaster, and I think he's one of the best. So if we're worried about a slider, That guy watches him every start, says it's getting better. I'll take his word for it. I don't know about you guys, but yeah, I mean.
It was so bad to begin with. I mean.
Right.
Can't imagine it hasn't gotten better.
But this is another guy whose velocity is down. He's throwing, you know, 94, 95 instead of 96. Have you guys moved Danny Salazar ahead of either Archer or Keuchel or both?
No, I haven't. And I have a little bit of distrust still for Salazar, you know, with his control issues and the long ball.
Yeah, I assume, I guess it's easy enough to look up, but he's given up only 2 home runs all year. Are his fly ball tendencies as...
Yeah, I think they're extreme. More moderate now.
Oh, so he has cut back on
I'll look it up, but I'm pretty sure he has.
So maybe he won't be such a big... I mean, the home run was the Achilles heel.
For Salazar.
Yeah.
He's actually... Salazar has a ground ball rate, according to Fangraphs, of 51%, so that actually would make him a ground ball pitcher. And the rate was up last year. I still think this early in the year. I'm not totally bought into that's what he's going to do going forward.
I'd have to think about that. I'm pretty close to doing that. If for Keuchel, I'd keep Archer ahead of Salazar.
Do you still think it makes sense to try to buy low on Archer and or Keuchel?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think it makes sense to buy on both.
I do. And actually, my biggest concern for Keuchel, even more so than his ability to get chases, is the defense behind him. Because as a ground ball pitcher, particularly the infield defense, really important. And Carlos Correa's defensive metrics are really awful this year.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they probably, if they keep Moran at third, that should be an upgrade over Valbuena. But, yeah, I'm a little bit concerned about that because that's something that's obviously out of Keuchel's control.
I just wanted to look up one more thing with Keuchel. No, hasn't really manifested. You know, sometimes with Keuchel and Kluber, their managers have much more faith in them than the other pitchers on the staff, and they leave them in a little bit too long. And sometimes I think that hurts their final lines. And it didn't necessarily in this game because, again, Giles got out of the inning. But I just wanted to see his ERA by inning, and I'm not really seeing any evidence of that for Keuchel. All right, power surge. Let's talk about some guys who are hitting for power. Nelson Cruz, 2 straight 40-homer years. He only has 8 right now, but he's picking it up. 3 home runs in his last 5 games. Nelson Cruz... 38.5 home runs, over under.
I'll take under.
Me too.
Really?
Not by much.
All right. 35-ish?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sounds right.
Okay. Ian Kinsler got an email from a Brian who says, should I sell high on Ian Kinsler? Kinsler is slugging .531. He has now, 9 home runs? He hit 11 last year. But after the All-Star break, he slugged .495 with .325 batting average. What do you think about Ian Kinsler? You know what? Let me phrase it like this. Scott, you said, I think last week, who's the number, 5 second baseman?
4.
Number 4. Could it be Kinsler?
Yes. I think so. I just made that adjustment in my rankings yesterday, as a matter of fact, and I think Al has him the same place after the obvious top 3 of Altuve, Cano, and Odor. So with that in mind, I mean, the fact that I feel like Kinsler has distinguished himself from a group of second basemen who are all kind of meh. I'm not really feeling the sell high. I guess technically speaking, he's not going to sustain this pace, but you're taking a downgrade at second base if you trade him, most likely.
I agree with that. I do have Kinsler 5th. I have Zobrist ahead of him.
Oh, okay.
And that's really close. I think Zobrist gets the edge for me. Give him the Rizzo bump for being in the midst of a very good offense.
Even in Roto, you have Zobrist ahead of Kinsler?
I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure.
All right, Jason Hayward hit his first home run yesterday. Power surge from Jason Hayward. He actually has an 8-game hitting streak, but this was his first extra base hit. Hayward does have 5 walks in those 8 games. Now, again, he's been dealing with a wrist injury. Do you guys think Jason Hayward is coming out of it, or is this a little premature to say that?
Man, I got to tell you, I'm so glad he's not a Brave anymore. This is just the anxiety is constant with him. What's wrong with Jason Hayward now? I don't know. I guess I still feel like he's going to be a top 25 outfielder when all's said and done. Top 30 at worst. So you just got to suffer through it right now.
Yeah, I don't know that we're ever going to see a big power binge from Hayward this year, but I do worry about the wrist for him and hopefully that gets healthier. And if it does, then I think, you know, we'll see what we saw, you know, let's say a year ago. which was perfectly fine.
Yep. Now, yeah, I'm sorry. Would you rather have Christian Yelich or Jason Hayward?
Yeah.
I have Hayward ahead now. That's some food for thought for my rankings update.
It is. I think because I'm not really distrustful of what Yelich is doing right now. I feel like it's pretty sustainable. And if Hayward did that for me, I'd be pretty happy with that. So I think maybe I did move Yelich ahead. I'd have to double check, but it's definitely in the conversation.
I'm going to go ahead and take the plunge and put Yelich ahead.
How about the never performing Yasiel Puig or Jason Hayward?
Puig.
Yeah, Puig.
Puig, yeah. Do something, Puig. And the last guy in our power surge is Jake Lamb, who makes sense again tonight if you're playing FanDuel, because Nate Eovaldi has like a 950 OPS. Lefties have like a 950 OPS against him. And Lamb has homered in two straight games against Yankees pitching. And now he has six home runs, 274 with six home runs. He hit six home runs in 107 games last year. He's done it in 40 games this year. However, Lamb is 3-for-28 against lefties. Now, I guess let's talk about Lamb, who's 55% owned, and Brandon Drury sat last night. Chris Herman's been playing. I mean, you know, what's your whole take on all these extra parts for the Diamondbacks?
Yeah, it's not great for any of them. And I've been stashing Lamb in our podcast league. I don't think there's been a single week that I've actually started him.
Which podcast league?
Our main, the podcast listeners league.
Okay, so that's the 12-team shallow
points
league.
Thank you. So, yeah, I just haven't been able to get him into my lineup. And then actually, Scott, you got Tyler Duffy in that league, right? You picked him up over the weekend.
Yes.
I put in a claim for him, too. Mm-hmm. Apparently didn't have the priority that you had, didn't get him. I was prepared to drop Lamb at that point. So it was roster crunch. And I have Drury, too. And I just trust Drury's playing time more. He's in the outfield mix as well as third base. Lamb hasn't been good against lefties. Don't trust him to play against lefties anyway. And so in a relatively shallow format like that, I do see that probably sooner or later I'm going to be dropping Lamb there. So that 55% ownership rate seems just right.
Who's more valuable to you, Steve Pierce or Jake Lamb?
Well, to me, Pierce, but it's pretty established I'm the high guy on him.
Yeah, well, the fact that I haven't dropped Lamb for Pierce in that league, I think that pretty much speaks for me.
Gotcha. Yep. All right, listen, guys, we have a lot in common, the three of us. We all love fantasy baseball. Therefore, we all want to play more fantasy baseball, but you can't exactly have a draft and start a new league every day unless you're playing on FanDuel. New leagues every single day. You play as often or play as little as you want. Choose from any players in baseball who are playing that day. Set a lineup. Stay under the salary cap, sit back, watch some baseball, win real money. Over 1 million users have won on FanDuel. Our listeners win on FanDuel. Our listeners have a great time playing on FanDuel, which is even more important. So join the fun. Contests start at just $1. There's a contest out there for everyone. Trust me, go on the website, download the app. The app is great. Start playing on FanDuel. You want a free shot at a cash prize? All right, sign up today. Enter your first league, win a cash prize in that league, or get a refund from FanDuel up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use our promo code HOMERUN. The promo code is HOMERUN with no spaces, one word, and you get basically a free entry up to $10. You get that money back if you don't win a cash prize. All right, got a lot left on the show and only about 15 minutes, so let's get to it. Rotation part one. Man, I had a lot of notes today. Just a great day of baseball yesterday. Noah Syndergaard, Madison Bumgarner, they were awesome. Zach Greinke had a nice start against the Yankees. And Danny Salazar, we talked about him already, but 27 hits, 61 strikeouts, and 50 innings for Salazar. All right, anything to say about Syndergaard, Bumgarner, or Greinke?
Greinke, yeah, because, Thor and Matt Bum, they're just good.
Yeah.
Okay, so we can move on from them. But Greinke, I mentioned to Scott and Heath in the office yesterday, I got stuck in about an hour-long wormhole looking at Greinke stats and heat maps and try to figure out what had been going wrong this year that had gone right last year. And after that hour, I found close to nothing. But the one little thing I found that was interesting was that over the three starts prior to this one against the Yankees, he had been throwing more often on the outside corner against righties, not against lefties, but last year against all hitters, that was really a key to Greinke's success, was, you know, pitching on the black and either inducing weak contact or a called strike. And so more recently, he seems to be doing that much more often against righties. So I'm interested to see what data we get from this start.
Would you guys rather own Greinke or Archer?
I would rather have Greinke.
Scott?
Yeah, maybe not in Roto, but it's pretty close.
Greinke or Garrett Cole?
Cole.
I'll still go Greinke.
All right, rotation part two. I've got, six guys. How many of these guys are must-start pitchers, in your opinion? Jaime Garcia, Rick Porcello, Carlos Rodon, Marcus Stroman, Vince Velasquez, Kyle Hendricks.
Must start? I'm not sure I'd classify any as quite that. Stroman probably comes the closest, and I would say if you're factoring in Velasquez's relief pitcher eligibility, then he's a must start there. Mm-hmm. But just as a starting pitcher, I think it's safe to say he's not.
Yeah, I think Velasquez is the closest, and I have him in a few leagues and haven't started him every week. So by definition, if he's not, nobody is.
It's an encouraging start for him, though. 10 strikeouts in 5 innings against the Marlins. When pretty much all 5 of his starts since that 16 strikeout effort, none of them were really bad, but they were all just kind of underwhelming.
Yeah, but only 15 walks in 48 and a third for Velasquez. That's a good sign. Speaking of which.
Yeah, and he did have some control issues early on in that start, and Greinke got some help from a really bad base running play by Derek Dietrich. But, kind of given that out, he regained his composure and then just was lights out the rest of the way.
Now, we talk about Taijuan Walker as a potential breakout. What about Carlos Rodon? Because he seems to have solved, not completely, but certainly gone a long way in solving his control issues. 17 walks and 45 and two-thirds.
Yeah, I agree. And for as much, maybe luck isn't the right word because they both have sub-2 ERAs, but for... To win as consistently as Jose Quintana and Chris Sale have for the White Sox this year, Carlos Rodon has kind of suffered at the hands of that, because he is 1-4, which I think is the main reason why he's not getting more attention in fantasy. Mm-hmm. Granted, the ERA is high too because of a couple of really bad starts, but overall, I've been pleased with what he's done. The walks have been consistently down. He's only twice exceeded 2 in a start, and pretty much a strikeout per inning every time too. So I do think he's a little underrated right now.
All right, some lineup stuff for you. Michael Saunders was back in the leadoff spot a day after I said it looks like Kevin Pillar is the leadoff hitter again. Ryan Braun and Will Myers returned. It's good to see. Paolo Orlando has started 4 straight in right field for Kansas City. Jerod Dyson's only played in 1 of those 4 games, and he was spelling Lorenzo Cain. That's something to keep an eye on. And Trace Thompson.
It's Lorenzo Cain.
What? Are you like?
You said he's spelling Lorenzo Cain.
Oh.
Right?
Al, I like it.
Even Scott laughed at that one.
That was a good one. And Trace Thompson was in the Dodgers lineup again against Jared Weaver.
So, yeah. 2 straight against righties. 2 straight starts, 2 straight good games.
We did talk about this yesterday, an article I read on ESPN LA that Thompson could play against lefties and soft-tossing righties, Shoemaker, mm-hmm. Weaver, and they have Tropiano tonight. I don't know what his velocity's like, but do you think Thompson's in the lineup again?
I would guess not. I think it's... I'll look it up. I think it's quite a bit higher than Shoemaker.
Well, we'll see.
I wonder how long before Thompson changes that approach, though. I mean, I guess there's a chance that he could slump and change it the other way, but... We keep expecting him to fall off, and he's done nothing but produce in the majors every chance he's gotten. So I'd like to see him get even more playing time.
My apologies for waiting so long to talk about these players, but here are some fringy starting pitchers.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but Shoemaker's average fastball velocity this year is identical to Shoemaker's.
Tropiano's?
So maybe we see him again.
Tropiano's, you mean?
That's what I meant.
Yeah. All right, cool.
I don't even know what I said.
Yordano Ventura is 86% owned. I still I think we all think he's pretty fringy at this point. Juan Nicasio disappointed against Atlanta. Wei-Yin Chen was good at the Phillies. Michael Pineda sucks. Wade Miley, Chad Bettis, Jesse Hahn, and Chase Anderson. Anyone that you, if you saw them on waivers, you'd pick them up right now.
Hmm. Nicasio in a points league still because of the relief pitcher eligibility, but that's the only reason. Roto, he's, you know, I'm done with him. And Wei-Yin Chen, I'd think about it too.
Yeah, I mean, the ones I would pick up most likely be is a streaming option, and main candidates for that would be Miley and Chen. And Miley's the only one I just might pick up just to pick up. But yeah, I think for me, the Juan Nicasio experiment after this start is over, and I definitely would look to drop him for the right person.
Injuries, news, and notes, some more. Anthony DeSclafani making progress. Yu Darvish and Soo Choo could be back soon. Yesterday's Nationals-Mets game was the first game this season which both starting pitchers struck out 10 or more batters, so that's cool. How about Brad Ziegler? He has saved 36 straight games. Woo! Joe Kelly could start this weekend for the Red Sox. Meanwhile, Eduardo Rodriguez was scratched from a rehab start with knee pain. He just cannot get over the hump. John Jay could end up on the DL with a shoulder injury. I should have let off the show with that. Philadelphia catcher Cameron Rupp may not be back until this weekend. And the Cardinals activated Tommy Pham from the DL and sent him to the minors.
Quick follow-up on John Jay, though, and I know this is not the angle, Adam, you probably, you know, would be wanting to take, but Travis Jankowski's been starting in his place. He's another steal source.
Okay. There we go. So DFS, I'll just give it to you quick here so we can grade some trades. There are a lot of bad pitchers tonight. And looking at just the night slate, not factoring in the day games, that means when there are bad pitchers, that means you should be able to find cheap hitters. So I'm going with Cueto. Cueto is the most expensive pitcher, $10,900 at San Diego. They are awful. They strike out a ton. I think Cueto makes a lot of sense. Chris Tillman against Seattle maybe, but Seattle's good. You know, they're really good. And John Lackey against Milwaukee, I think you could justify. And I guess you could do Liriano against the Braves, but he's only $800 or $900 less than Cueto. I would stick with Cueto. I think it's safer. I don't know if there are any pitchers out there that you guys like.
No, I like your idea of going expensive on pitching since you don't have to with hitters. And Cueto, to me, is the clear choice.
Some hitters you could look at. Again, a lot of bad pitchers. Well, we have Cincinnati against Mike Clevinger. Ben Revere, $2,400 against Bartolo Colon. He has good numbers against Colon. Cleveland's going up against Brandon Finnegan, and they've been swinging the bats well. Josh Donaldson is $3,900. He's got kind of bad numbers overall against Odorizzi. I think he's 3-for-14. They're all home runs and good at home against Odorizzi last year in Toronto. I think he homered in both games against Odorizzi at the Rogers Center. Jake Lamb's an option if you want to save a little money at third base. $3,400 against Nate Eovaldi. Colorado righties. They don't have a ton of those, but Wainwright has been horrible against righties this year. I don't know, maybe Trevor Story, but I'm sure he's expensive. I don't mind the Yankees against Shelby Miller. Yasiel Puig is $2,400 against Tropiano. Tony Kemp is $2,500 against Matt Latos. Carlos Beltran, $2,900. Carlos Santana, $3,000. You could look at those guys. And two guys I would avoid, Jose Bautista and Edwin Encarnacion, are a combined 3-for-36 against Jake Odorizzi, and they have not homered. So let's grade the trade. And listen to the Daily Fantasy Live podcast for better insight. This one's from Jason. Hey, Kyle, Stan, and Kenny. What is that, guys?
South Park.
Yeah.
South Park, yes, very good. I'm close to finalizing a deal where I get Mike Trout, Adam Conley, and Yasiel Puig for Garrett Cole and Giancarlo Stanton. What do you think? So I'll read it again. Give up Cole and Stanton. Get Trout, Conley, and Puig.
I'll go C plus there.
Yeah. I'll even go B minus. Anytime you can get Trout, it's probably something to do.
This is from Tyler. Give Rizzo and Archer. Rizzo and Archer. Get Miguel Cabrera, David Price, and Aaron Nola.
Ooh, I like that.
I love it. That's a B, straight B.
Yeah, yeah. Well, B plus. This that is one up, Al.
Chris. Chris is giving Prince Fielder and Joe Ross. Prince Fielder and Joe Ross for Matt Harvey.
I'll give it a B minus.
I'll give it a B plus.
We've got about a minute and a half left for scheduling purposes. We have to wrap this up. So Sam is in a 12-team 6x6 Roto League, needs home runs, gives up DeGrom, Segura, and Panic, gets Cano, Keuchel, and Simeon.
Gave us a tough one on a time crunch here.
DeGrom, Segura, and Panic.
I'll give that a B-. Cano, I think, sets it apart.
I'm going to one-up Scott. I'm going to go straight B.
About that. Mike from Charlotte says, Dear Corey, Sean, and Topanga, 12-team head-to-head categories league, give up Matt Duffy, Francisco Lindor, and Wade Davis. Duffy, Lindor, and Davis get Odor and Correa, and he still has Chapman and Ramos to close.
Oh, that's awesome. Two stud middle infielders. I'll give that a,
B+.
B+?
Yeah, the way Davis is going to bring it down a little bit for me. Okay. But still a must-do.
Last one here is 10-team category league from John. Tough one. Gives up Goldschmidt and Smiley. Gets Carlos Gonzalez and Scherzer. So gives up Goldschmidt and Smiley for Cargo and Scherzer, and he will replace Goldschmidt with Ortiz at first base.
Oh, that's nice that you can do that.
Contextual extra credit.
I'm still going to give this a C-. It's close to being even, but not enough.
I'll go even C with the contextual extra credit.
Okay. One-upping Scott again. Well, that's it, guys. Thank you. Sorry for a slightly abbreviated show. I wanted to grade a few more trades. Save some for tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm Adam Azer for Al Melchior and Scott White. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com, and we'll talk to you Thursday.